All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
It's Skatebird Time, starring Knock Knock, Satchel and Scooter, those feathered clowns of fantasy. Along with Willie the Wheeler and the superhero cycle known as Wonder Wheels, as well as those three mechanical marvels, the Robotic Stooges.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, sticking with Hanna-Barbera because we just can't quite finish Sigma 6. We can't quite get the schedules aligned. I'm wondering if we should just go ahead and do it anyway and then do our gimmick later. Chan, what do you think?
Man, I don't give a shit.
This is Knowing Is Half the Podcast tagline. I don't give a shit.
No, and man, I don't give a shit.
Oh, man, I don't. Excuse me. I got that totally wrong. Anyway, I am Ray Stakanis.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
And we are joined by a very special guest, not TV's Jean Ippolito. TV's Jean Ippolito needed a week off. She's been working very hard on a lot of these like videos and the recaps and the new rock starses and the break rooms.
I'm not going to lie. She needs to keep working on those goddamn Severance breakdowns on new rock stars.
How good are those?
That's our Friday. It's like we watch Severance, then we watch the breakdown to figure out what we missed and throw conspiracy theories around and what have you. And it's a great time.
I got a bunch of them right now. I'm not going to get into them in the moment, but I've been sharing some of them in our private chat, and Gina says they're not terrible.
She is being very kind to you.
Hey, sorry, I guessed the big twist halfway through season two.
Uh-huh.
I did it. I don't care if it was obvious to a lot of people. I did it.
With like 90% of the people watching, so...
The point I'm trying to make in all of this is we are joined by a very special guest who last was here. Was the last time you were here to talk about Nintendo shows? Is that correct?
Probably so. It's been we did what? Supercade?
Yeah.
Then we did Lassie, I think it was, with Lassie.
Might have done the Lassie Halloween special. Yeah. Anyway, yes. Delvin Cox is back with us once again because I know Delvin Cox will say yes when I need a guest in a hurry.
Correct. The fifth member of Knowing Is Half the Podcast.
That's right.
I mean,
the
honestly.
Sixth member of Who Would Win. The 14th member of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Somehow the 100th member of the Delvin Cox Experience.
Correct.
Yeah, you really got to work on that one. I feel like that's
a missed opportunity.
That may be a problem.
Anyway, Delvin Cox, you're back again. It's so nice to be able to do a show with you again. What with the other one going on indefinite hiatus.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
I'm sure you were booked at some point, but so it goes. Anyway, Chan, you got to help me out with this. This is something called The Skatebirds that we're watching. The Skatebirds is another one of these Hanna-Barbera compilation TV shows, except this one features live-action mascots on roller skates doing, what near as I can tell, non-jokes.
Here's the thing. I went down like a Hanna-Barbera hole, a rabbit hole, a dog hole, whatever it is, Hanna-Barbera.
Glory hole.
Hanna-Barbera glory hole.
Yeah. I explored it for, I just couldn't stop. I just couldn't get enough of it. It was.
I've heard that happens to people.
A wonderful time was had by some. I found this thing and I was like, oh, it's kind of like your great space coaster, your we did a few of these like about a year back, and I have a continuing fascination with them just because they're so fucking weird, man.
They are weird.
So when I saw, I was like, well, I guess we gotta do this, forgetting that we had already done two Hanna-Barbera monstrosities beforehand and would the last thing in the world I would want to put into my eye holes is more Hanna-Barbera.
But yet here we are.
Yes.
Here we are.
So
sometimes I make mistakes too.
So, Delvin, I haven't gotten to get your opinion. I know you've been keeping up with the CB Bears and the Posse Impossibles and the, what is it, the undercover elephants of the world. What is your opinion of some of these rather obscure Hanna-Barberas that we've been tackling the last few weeks?
I am starting to come to the realization that my childhood has lied to me and that a lot of Hanna-Barbera stuff was awful.
This is all I ever wanted out of this podcast. I just want people to realize that their idyllic childhoods were bullshit.
Yeah.
The one thing that this podcast has proven, to me at least, is that original series G.I. Joe might be the greatest cartoon show to have ever happened. Especially compared to everything else of its era, the era before, and the era after that we have checked out.
Well, I'll say this. We did the original series of G.I. Joe so far back now.
Yeah.
But it is indeed tinged with the rose-colored glasses of nostalgia.
Yeah.
So you have a second wave of nostalgia that you have to work through to realize that that was also bullshit.
No, it was good. I'm going to say right now, it was great. Not just good, great.
It was not the worst. It was better than I expected.
It is a masterpiece as far as I will say. It's just like Fallout 4. It's a masterpiece. I'll just put it out there. Anyway, we open up with, I just wrote here, holy S, why, live action. Okay, so we're going to watch cartoons of something called Wonder Wheels, which is a superhero motorcycle.
Whoa.
Oh. And then we're going to watch not one, Chan, two cartoons of the, wait for it, Robotnik Stooges. Yes, the Three Stooges in cartoon form, if they were robots.
I honestly don't know which show made me more angry.
First off, look, the
what are we doing?
I'm not a fan of the Three Stooges. Never have been. But they're a cultural icon, and they mean a lot to a lot of people. That's and sad. I mean, at the end of the day, they're just people. They're just comedians, just like us. And they had their time in the sun, and then they got old. And like, what do you do when your gimmick is fucking causing head trauma to your brother slash partner slash whatever?
Chan, you quit wrestling and go into podcasting. That's what you
correct.
Do.
That's exactly what you do.
They died before podcasts became a thing.
That's fair.
I hope that they got paid for this and for every god awful iteration of the Stooges. However, you know what? I hope that Iggy Pop paid them. I hope he gave them just a little taste of his A&R money.
You know, I wasn't ready to necessarily get into it here, but let's just go for it. I hate the Stooges. I have hated the Stooges for a long time. I don't think they are funny. I just think it's a bunch of mean-spirited people hitting each other or hitting people of lower status than yourselves, despite the fact that the joke is they're all lower status.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's mean-spirited. I don't think it's fun. It's upsetting levels of violence. It's sure. Like if it was a cartoon only and never was a live action thing that dominated comedy for decades, I'd probably see it more kindly, even though it is, again, so mean spirited. It's three grown ass men, like adult men in like their 40s, calling each other names and hitting each other repeatedly. And I don't, even as a child, I said, this makes me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why boomers like it so much, because they thought it was funny to hit their kids.
Yes, 100%. And they're still voting today.
They are still around.
We are all in agreement on the Three Stooges sucks. It is awful. It is bad.
I thought for sure there'd be one of us that had nostalgia for it. But Delvin, what's your childhood memory of the Stooges?
It was bad. It was boring. Anytime I seen the Three Stooges on TV, I was like, turn this shit off.
Yes.
Anything else put on. Like,
whenever
where's
I...
He-Man? Where's Mr. Ed?
Like, give me that. Give me Mr. Ed. Oh, my God. Give me Mr. Ed. There's a Mr. Ed wrestling episode, actually, Chan, that I've been wanting to revisit for this show. No, but Wilbur Post, his owner, decides... Check this out. I remember this episode from, like, when I was a small child. Wilbur Post decides to sponsor a professional wrestler. And this is back in, you know, black and white TV era where wrestling was only played up as real. And the joke of it is that this wrestler is not very good and loses matches. But however, he gets this wrestler into ballet. So this wrestler's entire moveset turns into like ballet themed professional wrestling of that era. And I just remember being like, that's weird. And I think that's right up the alley of things we should be talking about.
Wow. You know what? You might be onto something here. We might have to score one for Ray.
Okay. Wasn't expecting that today.
Here's the thing. I'll look into it and we'll see.
Because, again, this is at this point, what must be like a near 40-year-old memory of an even older television show. But yes. I remember thinking that this wrestler getting into the ring and them treating wrestling like it was like stone cold, the most legit sport on the planet, like it was boxing.
Which, sure.
Again, that Futurama line will always stay with me. Oh no, Ultimate Robot Fighting isn't real like pro wrestling. It's fake like boxing. Which that will never leave me. I'm sure I butchered the line, but you get the gist of it. Yes, Jim, we have now. I really want to watch that episode.
All right, here's the thing.
Put it on the calendar.
I'll look for it, and if I think it's good, then we'll do it on AE Double Back. How's that sound? We'll watch.
I want in on that.
Not invite you to the recording of that.
No, you know what I'm gonna say right now. Watch it. Mm-hmm. I got Wednesday nights free. Let's me and Delvin Cox come on AE Double Back and we will talk about that episode.
Oh my God. Five people on the mics.
Five people on the mics. And I'll bring the King of TV Wrestling Choose Your Own Adventure book. We'll do a back to back double mega length episode. And I will just take over AE Double Back for one episode. That sounds great.
Good idea.
Jen, you owe me after you made me go physically to watch a pay-per-view downtown and then never have me on the show to talk about it. I'll say it again. And the pay-per-view was delightful. I was very happy to go do so. But what the H, Jen?
That is actually brilliant.
It's like the first wrestling I'd watched in easily 5 years, 10 years, maybe. And it was great. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is the Skatebirds. Three Stooges suck. Okay, so they skate. They're costumed mascots. You know, like you would like stand next to at like Disneyland or Universal the Chinese Grauman's Theater here in Hollywood.
Yeah, these are very show busy characters. Showbiz.
Yes,
they look like they came straight out of Showbiz Pizza. Which is what I assume you meant.
That is what I mean.
Great.
What else am I going to mean?
Well, show, you know, hey, the biz of the show.
Yeah, you know, I went to go see my manager the other day. He's a giant talking pelican, and I was asking about my residuals. And
Chan, like, I see why you're not getting residuals.
You can't get the residuals too fast. You got to do it slow. You got to get your residuals in small amounts. Otherwise, you might choke.
Yeah, so if you could hit me up with the sound cue from 1 minute 59 seconds in, they just launched straight into a song. Okay, so we do like food. These aren't jokes. That's the part that kills me, is they're talking about you have to eat a balanced diet. So the other guy comes in with a pizza that I don't think he ever references on a tray with another tray. He says he has a sundae. He doesn't have a sundae. He has a pizza and a burger and like a soda, but he mentions a sundae that doesn't exist, but not the pizza that does exist. And then they say, it's a balanced diet because I'm balancing it on these trays. Ho ho!
That pizza looked terrible.
I'll be honest, I would eat the shit out of that pizza.
That pizza looked awful.
Delvin, I don't have good eating habits. I would absolutely eat that pizza.
No, actually, I'm looking at it. There is a sundae there.
Is there?
A cup. It's like
it's a cup. I thought that was a soda.
No. There's a bottle of soda on there.
Oh my god! All right.
See, well, he eats the whole bowl.
It's
very disturbing.
It's all very. Who puts ice cream sundae in a cup? What are you doing to me?
He went to McDonald's, obviously.
Oh, you know what? Okay, fair. Yeah. That being said, that we have a song about eating. Yes, sorry.
I will say that this is a perfectly acceptable construction for a children's show. The execution is weak. It shouldn't take that long to get to, like, this is an unbalanced diet, not a balanced diet.
Because he drops it.
Right. But it's like, sure, the wordplay is there. And primarily you're there for the big mascots on roller skates. Honestly.
Yes.
These motherfuckers inside these costumes are working it.
Oh, my God. Can I hear the song about chew your food, don't gulp it?
I mean, I wouldn't recommend it.
No, but I want to hear it. For the people.
Well, you shouldn't eat a record like a woodpecker pecking on oak. If a kid ever ate like that, well, he just might choke. Table don't grow bananas. Eat it up so and show good manners. Take it from a sweet bird, you'll please your folks. Yeah!
It's got kazoos in it.
It's, they're not singing together, which, like, I guess that's a creative choice that you can make, but it's a bad one.
Jen, we make that choice every episode of My Three Dads at the beginning.
It is also a bad one.
It's a creative decision, is what we'll call it.
Song is not a slapper.
not a banger. Not a banger on any level.
It is not like us, literally.
I swear I heard a mouth harp in there. I heard kazoo. I did not care for this song. And hearing that song, you think to yourself, man, there's still 22 minutes to go of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that very often during the show.
I'll be honest. The Robotnik Stooges, while terrible, at least those cartoons moved at a pace that I couldn't stop to check the time.
They moved at a blistering pace because they're like, 5 minutes long? So they have to cram a lot of plot into that short amount of time.
So the first one is a cartoon of the Robotnik Stooges. As mentioned before, the Three Stooges as robots, but they're like they're like Inspector Gadget robots. Is that the best way to describe them? They have like elongated legs and like head. It's body horror. But it's a robot. Tetsuo the Iron Man thinks this is upsetting.
Yeah, back in the day, robots meant something different. Everyone was convinced that, like, we're 5 years away from completely lifelike robots that just look like people with silver makeup on.
Yeah.
It never came to fruition, but in animation, they're just like, oh yeah, we'll just make a stooge with extendable arms. Boop, done. I think it's important to mention that Curly is, of course, played by Megatron.
Yes, Frank Bo.
Is that right?
That is correct.
I get it. Frank Bo, man. You know
there's a couple of well-known voices in this show.
Forgive me. When you said that, immediately my brain went to three other actors that were not Frank Welker, and I don't know what the hell I was thinking. I was distracted, obviously, looking at my notes here. Immediately I was like, it's not Peter Cullen. That's not Frank Todaro, who isn't even Megatron now. I don't know what I'm talking about.
He isn't. Also, neither was fucking Peter Cullen.
No, he was Optimus Prime. I told you I messed it up, Chan. I'm owning it, okay?
Jesus.
Make me feel bad about owning it.
I will make you feel bad for the level of fuckery that was going on in your brain.
I swear to God, Jan, I'm going to make us watch Legion episode one again. I feel like I almost got it.
Almost there.
I'm almost there. I'm so close. Okay, so there's an evil toy maker whose name is Mr. Toy Ploy because I hate life. And he's stolen all the toys in this gigantic toy store. And look, this cartoon is just normal Three Stooges bullshit but with a lot of grinding and gear sounds over the top of most of it. The audio is deeply unpleasant in this cartoon.
I appreciate that you can tell in all these three cartoons you watch, you can tell who the villain is by looking at their nose.
Look,
if they have a big nose, that fucker is up to something.
Animation did a thing for a certain period of time involving nasally based villains. Hey, I got this book.
No, you don't.
Never mind.
But yeah, that's I'm just gonna let's go ahead and call a spade, antiseptism. Yes. Pretty well.
What?
You very think? Much so.
Wow. Yeah, this is where I wrote, let's break down how much I hate the Three Stooges. But we've done that already. No reason to go on. They have a mission to stop Mr. Toy Ploy.
Hold on.
Wow.
Who,
the depth.
I do not know the answer to this question, so I'm just throwing it out to see if anybody knows. I really feel like the design of Mr. Toy Ploy is based on some celebrity from the era, from the mid to late 70s. Like, he's got kind of a Weird Al vibe, but Weird Al was not a thing.
He was not based on Weird Al.
Basically, I mean, he's got a mustache that is of the Weird Al variety. He's got curly hair and a hat, which presumably covers up a balding area at top. So he's got kind of clown hair, but it's also brown, deep brown. And I just, it just feels, and he's got glasses.
He does look familiar.
I mean, it's an archetype. I mean, it reminds me. I mean, it's not Snidely Whiplash. I'm thinking of the evil racer from Wacky Racers, which I think was also Hanna-Barbera. Yes. There was an evil racer with like a scarf and goggles with Muttley the dog. Am I crazy?
That's Snidely Whiplash?
Whiplash.
Oh, well, but in Wacky Races, he looked different.
Yeah, he had a hat on and goggles.
Oh, that's Dick. His name is Dick Dastardly. That's his name.
Yes, there you go. Dirty Dick Dastardly.
Top character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's not exactly that, but he's not that either, right?
I don't know. I feel like the mustache and glasses feels to me like Weird Al was sort of basing his look on someone from the 70s. That would
all original. How dare you?
And,
Also, if you guys want to check your, the message, I found my my Halloween costume for this year. Did I realize they made an extra large men's Dick Dastardly costume in the year 2025? No, I did not. But do I want it? Yes, I do.
The title of the text, the link you sent, looked like Rubik's official costume, and I was like, did you find a fucking Rubik the Amazing Cube costume?
No, but I'm going to look now that you mentioned it.
But also now I kind of wonder if you could make one.
Oh, boy. Yes. Chan, according to Google Image Search, yes, you abso-effing-lutely can. And a lot of people have done it.
Oh.
Why?
Why? I'm just going to go ahead and drop this Google search link so you can see the images that I'm seeing. It is mostly upsetting. I would believe these were AI if all of these pictures didn't look like they came from 1986.
Okay.
Oh, these are impressive.
I'm sorry. These are all Rubik's Cube.
Oh, how hard would it be to put a face on this?
I need a Rubik the Amazing Cube. And I'm feeling let down by the world in general.
Well, the world usually does that.
Oh my god. And including, if you look far enough down, sexy Rubik's Cube.
Yeah. I'm not looking further down.
That's sexy Rubik's Cube.
That's never a good idea. That's like reading the comments.
Never read the comments.
Because who wouldn't want a sexy Rubik's Cube?
I'll be honest, I do.
No, I straight up want to go as sexy Rubik the Amazing Cube. Get like, I don't know, like fishnets or something.
Chan, what you and your partner do behind closed doors?
No.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
We're opening the door for this. Everybody's got to see this.
Oh, no. All right, listen. The Stooges come up with a great idea to open a fake toy store And Curly shoves himself in a tiny box. He's the quote-unquote jerk in the box, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
That's the level of comedy we're talking about here. He bounces out on a spring and says, looks like I got spring fever. Nyuk, nyuk, nyuk.
That happened.
Very funny. Very.
I'm actually kind of intrigued by Moe's costume because he is a tow truck, right?
With his head underneath the wheels. It's weird.
He looks like, you know, those little kids Transformer costumes that actually turn into a car.
Oh my God, you're right. You're right.
It's kind of cool.
Those are cool.
I like it.
God damn it.
I don't like this, to be clear.
No, but you're right. It's inadvertently cool.
Yeah.
But not in its time. And I'm going to take some solace in that. So the most bizarre, like, I'm okay going to Crazy Town. It's just create a world, have that world make sense with its own logic, right? I don't think I ask for too much. They open a fake toy store in an abandoned train station or something, or a junkyard. Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah, and they just literally, it's just an abandoned building that they pretend to be toys in, but put up like two signs that say toy store, right? And the point is they're going to lure Mr. Toy Ploy here, who's hitting every toy store in the city, and they're going to nail him when he gets there. So they set it all up, they're in their costumes, and then some mom with her son Brucey show up to buy toys. Brucey is 27 years old.
Yes. Brucey is a 42-year-old man.
He's deeply on the spectrum. He's a very old, it's like when Jonathan Winters was on Mork and Mindy.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that checks out.
Very upsetting. He sucks and he messes with all the toys.
Yes.
Clearly they decided that it would be funnier for someone with the body of a grown-ass man to manhandle the Stooges instead of a child.
I disagree.
Who, it sort of makes sense, you know, that the child would act this way. And I disagree, too. I think that it's funnier if it's the little child who is being a child. The Stooges can't, you know, react in any way because they're undercover, one. And two, it's a child. So if he wants to repeatedly punch them in the balls, like that would be comedy. The fact that it's a big adult with a fucking with shorts and a beanie, it's weird and unfunny. And
A child's innocence could actually make this bit work. Having it be a soulless, I've seen it all before, old ass big reverse big scenario.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler looking motherfucker.
Yeah, it makes it so deeply unfunny because I hate everyone in the scene, and when they get punished and hurt, I'm like, I mean, fine, but
I feel like this was animators, writers, whoever made this choice, shitting on mothers who are too weak with their children.
Okay.
So I feel like this is one of those, you got to toughen your boy up kind of things.
But also, opened a fake toy store. So to have this particular mom and child walk in second one when it's in the middle of nowhere, I don't know. Like, the whole thing was just, it didn't make any sense to me, Chan.
It's either deeply misogynist or deeply unfunny. Either way, it's a lose-lose.
Oh, why not both?
Gotta tell you. Yeah, that's some pretty goddamn good marketing to get somebody there within 2 seconds of opening the store.
Yeah, wow. Social media didn't even exist back then.
Yeah, this is a different time. This is a different
time. We reset after this entire segment, which was wholly unnecessary. And
they only have 5 fucking minutes to do this thing.
They blow an entire minute on this bit, and it does not pay off, and it doesn't work. Kill your darlings, writers of Robotic Stooges.
And yourselves afterwards.
I assume
life a lot better for a lot of people.
Mr. Toy Ploy shows up. And what I love about this is that Larry, who is the stooge I found the most relatable.
Sure.
grown-ass balding man, has the mentality of a five-year-old, but is somehow the most mature of the three.
He is the one I hate the least.
He's the one I hated the least. Thank you. You know what? That's the best way to put it. But he comes out barely out of his normal attire, and he's like, beep, boop, bleep, do you want to buy a toy? But what's crazy about this is that once all the Stooges are like out of costume or like out of their transformed hidden versions, immediately Mr. Toy Ploy says, hey, it's the robotic Stooges, which means that the second Larry showed up, he knew exactly who they were and what was going on. Because Larry wasn't in disguise, and he recognized them immediately, which means, what are we doing here? I ask that as both watching this cartoon and us watching this cartoon.
Yeah. Asking that question all the time. What are we doing with our lives?
How did we get here? Delvin Cox, I know how me and Chan got here. How did you get here?
Yeah,
my love for both of you have driven me down a dark path.
Make better life choices, having people like us as your friends.
Yes. Not a good way to be. So they get locked up, but they shrink Curly, who walks through the keyhole of the door.
We're going to gotten out of it with the robotic Tiny Tom trick pick.
The robotic Tiny Tom trick pick. So it's a lock pick that is, in fact, just a shrunken Curly.
And he ends up like somehow removing the door from its hinges and it falls on the other two of them. I didn't hate that bit. It surprised me. It at least went somewhere I wasn't expecting.
This is the point where I was like, Jesus Christ, this is getting really abusive and uncomfortable.
Okay. Oh, sure.
Dopey?
Yeah.
Short, fat, and dopey. Like, I don't know. Calling him fat, like, that's par for the course for 1977. Short, I mean, you're the one that made him short. And then dopey, all of them combined together. It's like, Jesus Christ, man. Calm the fuck down.
Yeah. All of the above, Robert Clark Chan.
I agree.
And so they end up getting on the roof after escaping. They cut a hole with the saw. They drop in and they're attacked with whizbees, like frisbees, but they're not. They're a weapon. And also they say, we're going to defend ourselves with jawbreakers, but they're not jawbreakers. They're just gum. And they blow a giant bubble.
Hold on, it's the...
I'm so confused by this.
The robotic gumball jawbreaker busters.
The robotic gumball jawbreaker busters.
That is a thing.
I missed the gumball. I only heard jawbreaker, and honestly, I didn't want to go back.
Oh, there's also the...
This calls for the robotic bye-bye plane.
I don't know. It just felt like that they were having sex. If you have a bye-bye plane, that's obviously a biplane for bisexuals. And yes. they get into some sort of weird rat king to form this. I mean, I guess you could call it a Constructicon Devastator situation. But being that they're so human-like, I would go with a rat king of Stooges.
I'll go with human centipede. It was upsetting.
That was upsetting.
We'll get into Toy Ploy store with the robotic sauce skates.
Robotic sauce skates. That was the other thing. I started noticing how many fucking gadgets they had that all had names. What are you gonna know? These are fucking robots, and so that's their gimmick. We got a whole bunch of little things that eventually become Inspector Gadget. You know, in a few years.
Yeah honestly. You could see the one-to-one influence, right?
Yeah.
Good for Inspector Gadget. Inspector Gadget's better than this.
Way better.
Even the worst of Inspector Gadget.
Even the worst, and I'm not saying Inspector Gadget was great. I loved it when I was a kid. I could see the warts now, but Don Adams is so goddang watchable.
I agree.
Carries it. Anyway, Mr. Toy Ploy gets caught in a bubblegum bubble, And they, so they like, they shrink a house and they put Curly's butt in the hole in the ceiling. They, and they call him Fatso. And then he has to run hunched over with the house on his butt.
On his butt.
Sealing him in. Sealing in Mr. Toy Ploy 50 miles to HQ while they hurl verbal insults at him about his weight. Comedy.
Yeah.
5.5 minutes worth.
Felt like 2.5 hours.
Could you? They could have done an 11-minute segment. And like told a
coherent story.
And had jokes that landed.
Could they?
Chose to do none of those things.
You know what? You got, you know what, Delvin? I agree. Could they? I don't know that they could have pulled that off.
Seemed like a tall ass.
Hanna-Barbera knew its limits and said after 5.5 minutes, they will start getting the torches and pitchforks.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
He's a demolition demon in a beat-up Chevrolet. It ain't worth a dollar, so he wrecks it every day. Now here's Kenner's SSB smash-up derby set. And you can hoot and holler, cause you ain't seen nothing yet. Crash, bang, crack 'em up, put 'em back again. Crash, bang, smash 'em up, it's smash-up time, my friend. Kenner's SSB smash-up derby set comes with everything you see right here.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
We got to get back to live action. Chan, I need. Can you explain how this is a joke?
The whole series or just this?
This particular bit in particular really pissed me off, and I'm going to tell you why. You have two costume characters. One of them says, "Hey, friend." Yes, friend. I don't remember their names. He says, "I've invented an instant milk machine."
Hold on, hold on. I just want to go back to this because they're literally saying that, like they're naming each other, like they're just starting a new improv scene, and this isn't, you know, many episodes into a continuing series. Like, of course, everybody, it's their first time watching one of these.
Ah, things. You remember.
But also at the beginning of the goddamn cartoon, they name everybody and they show their picture, so you don't have to do this.
What you doing there, my old pal Scooter?
Well, my old pal Knock-Knock.
Yeah, y'all thought I was messing around when I said what I said. No, that's basically it.
Also, fun fact, both Adobe and I agree that what he's saying there is my old pal Nut-Nut, which
I heard Nut-Nut.
Definitely when I look at him, I think just like two little puddles of spooge.
So I'm going to, guys, give me a sec here. Hold on. Give me some stage because I'm going to go through the beats of this joke.
Oh, we're going to break.
And it's, hey, friend, hey, friend. It's invented
a new rock star's breakdown of Severance only for.
But for this, just for this.
For terrible cartoons.
I have invented an instant milk machine. And he picks up a telephone, an old-timey telephone with the receiver that you pick up, and it has an earpiece and a mouthpiece, and it's long. Kids, you don't know what I'm talking about, but the rest of you do. It's
I will a say, telephone. It's 1977, and it is a touch-tone phone, so this is some high-tech shit.
He pulls the receiver off of the phone, and he types some numbers in, and it starts shooting milk out of the phone. And the other guy's like, whoa, how are you doing that? And he goes, do you want chocolate milk? Punch, punch, punch. Nothing seems to change, except he hands the phone to his friend, who gets sprayed in the not mouth, awkward costume area below his mouth. And then we're done. And I ask Robert Clark Chan, as a student of comedy,
no.
What was the goddamn joke here?
Oh, that is a very interesting question. And I will say to you that milk does not traditionally, I don't want to say always in every circumstance, milk does not always come out of a touch-tone telephone. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
That's
correct.
I mean, that is an accurate statement. Have you ever tried to look a phone, right? That is accurate.
No, that is a question. That is a question that Delvin has asked, and you need to answer. Have you ever tried to milk a phone?
I tried once.
Do you think you could milk me, Ben Stiller? I don't remember the name of that movie because I don't care for it, and I can't be bothered to look it up.
Ben Stiller, Brain Trust, and executive producer behind Severance, a great show you should be watching.
That's a good show.
It's very good.
Watch two episodes. It's pretty good.
I've been listening to the companion podcast for season two, like four episodes today alone. And it's very good. I like this show a lot, you guys.
I do like a good companion podcast.
I do too.
Delvin, are you going to do a companion podcast to the Knowing Is Half the Podcast?
Ooh. It's a good idea.
Is
Who
it
can I get a host with me?
It's not a good idea.
Me, Chan, and let's face it, Gina won't do it. Me and Chan will come and guest on your show. Every time we have a guest on your show, you can bother them to come on your companion podcast because, let's face it, they probably have nothing better to do.
Pretty much. Talk about what they just did here.
Talk about what they just recorded with us, if they can remember it at that point. Welcome to the roast version of Knowing Is Half the Podcast, where we just roast the show itself.
It's like
guys,
a reverse
I really didn't like
theater.
Any of this. There was no joke there. There was no comedy there.
Nope.
There were no beats there. There was no rhythm or structure there. It was just nonsensical and terrible.
Yeah.
Just want to sit in this failure for a sec.
Just sitting it, just doing it, just living it.
Make then it we move on to the classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
Wonder Wheels, ladies and gentlemen. Wonder Wheels.
This shit pissed me off.
Wheels. And his double trouble. Like, as if Devlin, not Delvin. We did have a lot of confusion when we did this episode a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not a cartoon from Hanna-Barbera. Back in the 60s about Delvin Cox. No.
You're asking
about a black man. Nope. Not at all.
No, definitely not that.
Don't want that show in the 60s. That might turn really different.
That's a different show entirely. I saw that show in history class. It was upsetting.
Yeah.
Wonder Wheels. This is a superhero motorcycle guy with an alter ego who hangs around a young lady also on a motorcycle who I don't know why she hangs around him.
Yeah.
I didn't understand even what we're doing here. That was my biggest
this
problem.
So much because I don't know if you both noticed this. This is just fucking Speed Buggy.
100%.
It is That's Speed all it Buggy, is. Isn't it?
Yeah.
They just made Speed Buggy a motorcycle. Like, here you go.
Yep. Which came first is the question.
Speed Buggy is 1973, so Speed Buggy did, in fact, come first.
Oh, man, people are really into hogs, motorcycles, Harley Davidsons. Let's do one of those, but with Speed Buggy.
And so there's a bit right off the top where the young lady is, like, getting pulled over, but they don't stop moving, by a police officer on a motorcycle who's like, you know, you're emitting too much smoke. Fix your engine, but it turns out it's her friend who's like Pigpen from Peanuts. He's immersed in smoke just next to her.
Boy, was this sexist.
And he says it's a smoke machine. I don't know what's happening on this show. So here we go. The conceit of this show is that there is a superhero motorcycle rider. Yes, go ahead.
High school journalist. I'm taking this from Wikipedia so we can be absolutely accurate about this.
The lady's a high school journalist?
Willie Wheeler.
Oh,
Willie Wheeler. By the Monkees' own Mickey Dolenz.
Correct.
Of course.
And Dooley, his, what is she to him?
Girlfriend.
No, I just think she's a friend.
You, based on context cues, based on the fact that she treats him like absolute dog shit, you would think that he is following her. He is her
friend zone.
Friend zone, sure, sure. She is, in fact, his girlfriend.
Really?
Yep.
Is his girlfriend.
Did not pick up on that at all.
He has something that she appreciates.
Because she doesn't know he's a superhero.
Correct.
At all, which is weird because when he changes, he just looks the same. He just gets a new bike.
I mean, he is wearing, let's see. Yeah. He is wearing a helmet and goggles in a different color.
No, I'm going to tell you right now. I buy this, and I'll tell you why. When I used to work in a restaurant 150 years ago, let's face it, I was a slob. I was in my 20s. Nobody cared. The women who worked for the most part at the restaurant had no interest in what I was doing or who I was as in any kind of a romantic way. Okay. I showed up to work one time on my way to Second City, and I was wearing a suit that fit me well. And I looked good. I had a nice tie, a suit. I was put together, and I showed up to have a quick drink in the bar. I just wanted to hang out for a minute before going out to do a show, right? And I'll tell you, the attention I suddenly got from the women that I worked with, at least three or four of them, was shocking. They were like, he's in a suit. He looks good. My opinion totally changes. I can understand why you would not see this guy in a better fitting, snazzier costume as higher status than, but she's already dating him. This doesn't make sense.
This is my issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm wrong. Absolutely. I'm wrong. Someone who doesn't, you know, pay that much attention to you could, mistake you for someone else. What kind of dating relationship do they have that she would not realize this guy with the exact same voice? And
Is she Canadian? Hey. Is she looking for a green card?
Ooh, that's a good point.
Possible.
It's on the table.
It is also possible, and honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm sure in the writer's room, they're like, well, obviously she's with him because he's got a big hog.
Oh, for fuck. Oh, come on, dude.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You're not wrong. I'm just mad about it.
I am just amazed that his special ability is to change his shitty bike into a good bike. So why not just keep the good bike around all the time?
Yeah, he invented it. His secret identity is Wonder Wheels, but it's really the secret identity of his bike. I hate everything about this.
It's one of those things where he doesn't want to be treated differently.
Why would you not want to be treated differently when you're a piece of shit?
I mean, here's the thing. It was a different time.
Do you know how many times back then I wanted to be treated differently?
Obviously, if you're a useless, shitty incel and you have tons of money, you're going to flaunt it. You're going to buy the presidency. You are going to...
you could be talking about anybody right now.
Anybody.
Talking about anybody.
Anybody at all.
You could blow $40 million on a working website and destroy it so that you can then...
Oh, Chan, $40 million or $44
billion? You know what? I can't even grasp numbers that big.
You could be so rich, you pay somebody to play video games for you and then pretend that it was you. Yeah. In one of the saddest things that's ever happened in this world.
But in the 70s, you just pretended like you didn't because you want people to love you for who you are. Or in this case, because you really get off on being a sub. And
he's an absolute beta male. Yes. Look, I don't like those terms. I don't like the people who use them, but it's accurate.
Yeah, this is on a whole nother level.
It's true.
What those people are using to mean beta male is not what this is.
No, this is accurate. Look, there's a bank robbery, and everybody thinks it's Wonder Wheels, and so our heroes want to follow him. because we find out he actually, our hero actually is Wonder Wheels. So the guy committing the robbery can't be him. And we chase him like up a mountain. And then he gets away in an airplane after Wonder Wheels reel flies off the mountain. I don't know if I tuned out, but I lost the script here somewhere.
Well, here's the thing.
It did too.
In a similar fashion to the last Robotic Stooges, where they like had all of these named gadgets. First off, the sentient bike sniffs where the other motorbike went, like a bloodhound.
Cool, but disturbing.
Then was the next thing that he turns into a helicopter? His handlebars start spinning, teeny tiny handlebars start spinning like a helicopter, and he goes flying to get over the other motorcycle who's driven into a carpet and is still driving around, even though the carpet is over its front tire. The physics of that don't make any sense to me. But then neither do the suction cups on the tires.
See, that's what I remember.
Follow after that, so he can climb up a cliff. That is a thing one could certainly do. And then he goes flying. He was driving so fast up the cliff.
Up the cliff.
He flew dozens, possibly even hundreds of feet in the air. And in order to land properly, sprouts wings so that he can then fly into the smoke trail of a biplane, of another biplane, just biplane plenty.
I should point out, the motorcycle is the superhero.
There were so many things that went on at the time, I was losing my GD mind. I was like,
yeah.
What the fuck is this show? Is it just to think of different ways for a motorcycle to do things that motorcycles do not? Is it a milk machine? Is it a machine that gives you milk, only it looks like a touch-tone telephone?
Chan, half the things you just said the bike did, I'd have no recollection of, and I just watched this before we started. Like, there's no week in between here. I just watched it. Yeah. I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no doubt you are accurate.
It is nuts.
It's not okay. Which just leads us into robbery two, a jewelry store.
Yeah.
Because why not?
Sure.
He says, Wonder Wheel stole my jewelry. Wonder Wheels actually pulls up. He goes, get him. He came from the opposite direction. What are you getting? I did. I was just like, God damn. I can't. And look, all I remember is at a certain point, Wonder Wheels gets covered by a giant pumpkin.
For no reason.
No reason. And this is where my note occurs. I don't get this. I just don't get what we're even trying to do at this point. I don't understand this. And we're almost done. There's like 45 seconds to go in the cartoon.
Immediately following the pumpkin thing where they're just driving in a pumpkin, similar to the carpet. Like, where are the fucking wheels? How is this?
The pumpkin's just moving.
It's also why was a pumpkin the size of a giant Harley Davidson?
It's like if you played the imposter Call of Duty mode. Where you're like a street sign and you're wondering, how is that street sign moving? That's the giant pumpkin.
And then it's followed by them driving through a field of sheep and shearing them. Why? What? They didn't. It wasn't like a gadget sheep shears. They just drove through sheep that were there for no particular reason and sheared half of them.
Yes. At which point Wonder Wheel throws a lasso out, seemingly blind. He doesn't know what he got. He ropes a tractor gets pulled, not even knowing he's still attached to a tractor, on the other side of the field, parallel to what the villain is doing. And then the rope breaks, spins around, hooks the bad guy, and the cops show up and arrest him. Guys,
you forgot the main part of it.
Did I forget anything?
Flies off the bike, but the frame in the cartoon skips, so you don't see that.
Everything about this.
So you just see the bike just disappear. Like, you disappear off the bike, and then all of a sudden the cops just jump. Like, what the hell happened?
Cops were just there.
I thought the tape jumped or something. Like, oh, this is like a digital.
No, to be fair, I think in like a half dozen occurrences in this show, the tape did jump.
Yeah, it did. But also, like, I'm doing a frame by frame right now, and literally he's on the bike. The next frame is the bike doing a wheelie because its rear tire had been caught by the lasso, and he is gone. He's gone. One frame just poof, disappeared. No part way flying through the air. Like, they could not afford any of it.
I'd say this is when Hanna-Barbera didn't care. But I'm slowly coming to the realization that Hanna-Barbera never cared.
Not even a little bit.
Also, it's fun because as I'm doing the frame by frame, after he goes flying, he collides with, you know, the fence or whatever. And that happens off screen. So what I'm looking at is his motorcycle that's just sitting in the middle of a field. And all of a sudden, the whole screen shifts to the left a little bit, and then up a little bit, and then it starts going in like a little circle that is when the screen like shakes after the collision. And it is, I don't want to say that this is cheap.
Just say, like an
offense to the art and craft of animation. But dear God, this is not good.
So let's move on back to live action, ladies and gentlemen.
If we must.
Baby Bird is hungry. It turns out Baby Bird is huge. He's like behind the fridge. He shoves the fridge with his gigantic beak. And one of our heroes in the skating mascots tries to feed his friend the penguin to the giant elongated bird mouth. And everything about this is horrifying. Please, I need a sound drop at 15:30. Please.
Oh, you're gonna make me.
I am, because this upset me so. They feed him pillows. What are we doing? Why are we watching this?
I gotta eat while we're eating is good. Is that bad?
To me, the shock of you knocking on wood, that's mad.
Hey, you hear that rhythm? What a groovy beat.
It's bad for the stomach,
but good for the feet.
A one, a two, a shibba-dibba-doo.
I just want to stop here and remind everybody that this is noted musician, legend. Actor, musician, Scatman Crothers.
Scatman Crothers as a black-coated cat.
I mean, he's a cool cat.
Cool cat. Scat Cat is his name.
That's inappropriate in the year 2025.
Very much so.
It does mean a different thing now, yes. You can visit scatcat.xxx for more about that.
Don't do that, please.
$24.99 a month.
Maybe that's your thing.
Access.
Look, what Chan does in his spare time, I choose not to ask about.
Yeah! Now, let me throw away your pelican can. You gotta chew your food, little dude, like Scott.
Why? Chan, was there an epidemic of children choking to death from eating too fast?
Listen,
Why do we need multiple segments? Multiple musical segments about chewing your food.
It's a callback. I give him credit. Look, I'm not the person to answer this question on a show with Robert Clark Chan and Delvin Cox. Is this racist?
honestly, you know that I would call this out in a hot second, in a hot quarter second. I felt there was a shred of anything that even remotely resembled racism. And I'm going to love with you. I think the people at Hanna-Barbera are too fucking cheap and lazy to be racist. They can't even be bothered.
Representation counts.
I have a Yogi Bear cartoon that begs to differ.
Oh my God.
Well, put that on the list.
Put it on the list. Elvin, you're coming back. I want to talk about this with you and no one else.
Oh my God.
Guys, I'm not kidding. I got tears right now. Everything about this is so upsetting. As the singular dumb white guy on the show, it's obvious to me. So I don't know why I asked the question. I knew the answer. Oh, this last segment's going to be fun because we got more Stooges. Oh, joy, as my notes say.
But before you go on.
Oh, Delvin, tell me what you need to tell me.
I looked up on this cartoon. Did you know this cartoon was originally an hour show?
Yes. There were... Because we just did the last one. Remember?
No.
The last one was also originally an hour-long show, then they broke it up into like two half-hour shows, and they added more segments, and like they just threw everything into a blender to fill like how much space you got. Here's some shit. Just throw it in there. It's the correct length. Don't ask any more questions.
Pretty much. they had more like cartoons and stuff like that with it. I think it was like four cartoons that they had.
Let me go ahead and say, we're not doing a part two of this, Chan.
We haven't even got to Wolfer and Whimper Dog Detectives yet.
And I'm happy. I'm happy for that. You're bringing me the one piece of joy in the universe I need right now, Chan. Don't take that away from me.
Frank Welker voiced a robot in the other...
What a shock.
Island. So, I mean, it's basically the Transformers, you guys.
Yeah, basically.
The robot's name was Pops. Capital P, period, capital O, period, capital P, period, capital S, Pops. I don't know
what this episode of Robotic Stooges part two is called Rub-A-Dub-Dub, Three Nuts and a Sub.
That is also available on that very same website, scatcat.xxx.
I've never prayed for death harder than when I saw the title of this cartoon.
That is a lot. That is a lot.
I'm not trying to leave my 7-year-old without a father, but if lightning struck me in the moment I saw what this cartoon was called, I would have been like, I get it, life, I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you got to check out.
This opens with super popcorn that Curly has invented. With the line... These colonels are so strong, they're going to be generals, and I hate everything and everybody.
I mean, it's pretty fun.
Not bad.
I'm starting to understand the music of Marilyn Manson when I watch this.
Also, this presages the climax of the greatest film in the 80s, the second greatest film of the 80s, Real Genius,
yeah. Last
few years, and so like, put on them. Surely they saw this and were like, you know what? We could do this in real life.
They did. This is flood level, top of the house amount of popcorn.
Also, you skipped right over. We meet the fucking fish man, whose name I don't even know.
I don't want
to. A straight up fish man. It's not like, I'm Mr. Fishman and I used to work as a sardine counter and now I'm mad, so I'm gonna make everybody around here pay. Dude is a fucking fish. And he has something to say about this military sub that he captures.
Another specimen to add to my aquarium zoo.
hold on. I almost, we're going to go back because.
Yeah, please.
I need to hear that full laugh. That is a.
No, you and laughs. I get it.
My aquarium zoo.
And for the record, that's Casey Kasem, right? Am I crazy? That's obviously Casey Kasem.
It is. Yes, it is. Mean, it has to be.
There's no chance it's not. I don't even need to look it up.
IMDb is sadly not filling us in on all of the individual segments of this Robotic Stooges.
I feel disrespected.
Yeah,
in this moment.
Scene missing. But also, an aquarium zoo is kind of redundant, and that bothered me.
Yeah, look, so, we haven't even talked about the fact that their mission giver, their Charlie, if you will, is named O-O-O.
Yes.
I don't know what to make of that.
Mr.
It's just a thing I want to bring up.
It is, like, who doesn't love the classic James Bond gimmick of 007 or 00...
Oh,
whatever.
Yeah.
Oh. Hilarious.
What really upset me, though, is the fact that they go into the water to retrieve the sub as a submarine tied together with like rope. And there's the three of them and they're close to the surface. And it really, I was really upset by this. They go to Atlantis and they go, oh, Atlantis City. Is there a boardwalk?
I hate them.
I hated life. I questioned a lot of choices, most of them involving this show. As I watched this episode, and deeply unhappy did this episode make me.
You know what this, hold on, this.
Chen, I need you to defend this right now because I'm having trouble.
No, don't defend
it. Because Delvin ain't coming to your rescue.
Not even a little bit.
I'm still stuck on the image of the Three Stooges stacked on top of each other like a Dagwood sandwich.
Very upsetting.
Yeah. Curly with the dunk a dunk.
Like they were trying to do a human centipede, didn't quite understand how it worked.
Up and down human centipede. That's not where the mouth and anus go.
Yeah. And not in any way remotely sexual. It's not even like, hey, what if like... three dudes were all having anal together. Don't get that vibe.
Chan, stop telling me what you watch when online when we're not looking.
What is the name of that? Periscope is coming out of Curly's lower back. So presumably it runs all the way through all three Stooges.
I didn't notice
thing up in the water.
I'm more upset now.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And what this reminds me of more than anything is that first Choose Your Own Adventure G.I. Joe that we did years ago now.
Wow, okay, good.
Years ago. Go ahead and find it on Patreon because I don't know where the fuck it
find
is.
Find it. I have it behind me right now. What are we talking about?
But there was the vehicle... that was a helicopter.
Okay.
And that's a tank.
Okay.
And a motorcycle. And somehow it comes together to form some sort of super vehicle. This is a thing that Kobo is trying to steal. You have to steal it back from them. And they explained it as it is like one vehicle on top of another vehicle on top of another vehicle. And we couldn't figure out how that functioned physically. Like how, what goes into where. None of it makes sense. Why would you want a motorcycle on top of a helicopter? And how does it enhance the military value of the tank? But it felt like that we're just going to take three things. I don't give a fuck why, but we're going to put them together, by God. And we're going to put it in your eye holes.
Whether you like it or not.
That was Book 10, Operation Weapons Disaster. That is a formative memory because you've mentioned it at least a dozen times on this show. Mm-hmm. How are we not doing more Find Your Fates? Guys, I use Patreon money to buy every single 1 through 20 G.I. Joe Find Your Fate books. Why are we not doing these all? Put some pressure on Gina. Put some pressure on Chan. I want to do them. They won't let me. I'm pulling back the curtain in the hardest way. This is a severance. She's alive moment. Let me cook.
As a patron, do I have say in this?
Yes, somehow.
As a fan of Severance, I can tell you that I hate both your innie and your outie.
Like Jen, how dare you? First off, my outie, obviously. My innie, I think you would find delightful.
I
don't think you would.
Bet on that.
A pure version of me?
Jesus Christ.
That's disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
Very. Like, unnerving disturbing.
Look, I don't want to say that every innie version of me at every workplace seems to get laid off after about 1.5 years on average. Huh? I say on average.
You're on a schedule.
At maximum. But it's annoying at this point.
Why do I have to worry about my friend every 1.5 years?
Invest in me. What's wrong with you people? The video game industry is in trouble. That's all I'm trying
yes.
to
say. Yes.
Until they hire me, they're in deep trouble.
Can we finish with this god-awful monstrosity?
We go back to the kooky zoo. Where there is a burly shark guard stopping the robotic stooges from escaping.
Are they imprisoned every single episode?
Yes.
At their deal?
I assume because so.
At some point, we have to accept that it is just their fetish. And they're only in this to get locked up and tied up and have their balls lightly slapped or whatever.
It's all checked out.
Happening?
Weird that this fish dude... like peeks in on them through a little porthole.
Yeah, like does.
And his shark buddy, guard, I guess, whatever.
It's Jaws. That's Jabberjaw.
That is 100% Jabberjaw.
Yes, it is.
With it's, a different color scheme.
Yeah, all right, fair. Yeah. They escape and then fall into get caught in a cage that drops on them, which is insane.
I believe that is their shark cage. That is not something that...
No, they're in a shark cage, and there's a magnet, but it's too heavy. And then they get dropped in a secondary cage.
not gonna lie, I completely blanked out on all this last part.
Who could blame you? Anyway, they get another message saying, you don't have the sub, go get the sub. They're dropped into another cage. They go into the tippy-toe routine, which means all their ankles become 18 feet long, and we go back into body horror again, and they just walk the cage off of them, where they get grabbed by a clam robot. I wish I was incapable of saying the thing I just said. It's dumb. But it gets dumber. As they're going to be eaten by Casey Kasem, the Atlantean leader who pours salt on them, and Curly says, I want pepper, which causes the clam to sneeze.
Hold on. I got it. Because none of us paid enough attention to find out what that dude's name is.
I don't care.
Possibly he names himself, possibly he doesn't. But because it's voiced by Casey Kasem, could we call this fish man this underwater aquarium zoo haver?
I'm already mad at you. You haven't even done the bit yet.
Scooby-Doo?
No, I see. God damn. I
like it.
Underwater.
I knew I was going to be upset.
Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Scooby.
I knew you were going to piss me off with that. And you right. did. And this I allowed it to happen. I tried to cut it off.
Set yourself up for it.
Now I've justified the time that I've wasted on this motherfucker.
I'm so mad at you right now. Anyway, the clam sneezes, which allows them to pull the sub out, opening a hole in their fermium, which crashes the kingdom. The king is named Aqua Fiend, which I keep thinking of Aquafina. Who is a delight. Great job in Azizu, the dragon, and Raya, the last dragon. And great job in Shang-Chi.
What about the rest of the stuff she's in?
I don't know anything else she's been in, Delvin Cox. Why you gotta press me on this? Like I'm a super fan of Awkwafina. I like those two things. Is that not enough?
No.
Look, they pulled two subs, and one of those subs that they're attached to turns out to be a kaiju-sized monster, which just goddamn ends the episode. And I could not care less. I don't want to get into it. I want to be done.
In my head, Ken, they're dead. The kaiju monster ate them.
God bless America. I agree.
I mean,
they're dead.
Yeah, it couldn't make any less sense. So let's just say that it ate them and we'll never have to do this again.
Yes, I agree.
Chan.
What?
Please let's stop with the Hanna-Barbera. Please. I don't want to do this anymore.
We have another one coming up.
I don't have a lot.
Another one coming up.
I don't have a lot to get excited about in life right now.
We have a Yogi Bear episode coming up.
Please stop doing this to me.
Look, we have about a month and a half booked. I can't say for sure that any of those are, none of them are Hanna-Barbera. It's possible that one of them is, but they never really got into this territory that I know of, so I don't think any of them are.
I don't think so either.
We're definitely putting that Yogi Bear on the books, and we'll get Gina into, so we can have a ball.
Well, we're gonna do Mount Rushmore, four person.
That's what they call it in the podcast biz.
That's what we do.
Mount Rushmore.
Chen, I'm just trying to say, look, it's the year 2025 of our Lord. I've had a lot go wrong this year. You know, I've had a lot more go wrong this year than I'm even letting on. And you're doing this to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look. Please stop. It's
I'm
enough.
Just going to drop this picture in our chat so you can see what we're in for.
Why are you going to upset me further?
Oh, wow. I thought this was some weird southern black thing. Boy,
Chan, do you want to describe what
he's having a fever dream?
You want to just describe what he posted in our chat right now?
That is a goddamn buck-tooth Japanese bear with squinty eyes, big old glasses, and a giant rising sun logo on his right. Let's call it a kimono. That's a lot to take in. That is a lot.
I woke up to see that image, and I'm like, "Oh, this can't be a real cartoon."
Oh no, we've seen Hanna-Barbera do this before.
Oh, we definitely have.
I absolutely would not doubt that they would do it again. We should probably go.
Yeah, I'll look. I need a win. This wasn't it.
Absolutely not. None of us won.
Bye.
One big collection of wild, wacky, and wonderful characters, the Skatebirds.
Hello, dear listeners. Do you enjoy playing video games with your best friends? Then I have the pod for you. I'm Philip, host of the Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Each week, my co-host Nave and I break down a cooperative experience in gaming. And we are always looking for new co-op partners to join us. So come play with us on the Gaming Together podcast.
So I'm standing over this toilet taking a piss, and I'm playing my Pokemon, and I dropped it in the toilet. I remember the Game Boy just tumbling into water. And I remember screaming for my mom, trying to get this Game Boy.
Wait,
out.
How old are you?
And she yelled at me. She yelled at me.
Oh,
and I was
my
just,
God.
Like, traumatized. I was like, no, my Pokemon.
That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Come on down, co-op partners.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.